in this day and age when spiritual and esoteric information can be found in an instant across the internet, often in forms that are questionable in their sources and their understanding, we find ourselves in a very complicated situation. How wonderful it is to have access to information about how to awaken and evolve and heal and become whole in this life. Spiritual teachings, which only in the 60s began to appear in the West, for instance, in books out of Tibet and such, and then translations. But still in those days, the seeker had to dig and search in old bookstores, come across individuals who had particular knowledge. And it is in that world that Gurdjieff and his teachings was discovered by serious seekers. Now anyone can come upon information and have a quick judgment, a first impression on something that cannot possibly be received so superficially. So in an effort to at least bring variance and depth to that which is hiding in plain sight in the midst of all the noise and cacophony of the internet, let us see if we can find something of Gurdjieff's legacy for the seeking soul today that might resonate for you in a way that puts you on a journey of authentic self-awareness and inner transformation, which was his mission, his purpose, regardless of all the multiplicity and contradictions that came along with his story and his life. Gurdjieff called us to remember ourselves. Le rappel de soi, he said in French, the recall of self, pulling ourselves back into that place of unification, of presence to our reality, free from imagination and illusion and identification, caught up, hypnotized by the stimulus all around us, or by the fear of others and what others are thinking, pulled out of ourselves. This self-remembering, as he called it, built on self-awareness, inner separation, divided attention, awareness of self, awareness of the world around us, freedom from the endless noise in our heads, the random associations, the multiplicity of our being. This gathering together into an authentic place within is a key teaching that allows real awakening to our true nature, to a purification and a unification that takes us into the classic spiritual transformative teachings of other great traditions. Gurdjieff gave it to us psychologically, practically, specifically, to rise up to that place in the midst of everyday life, without having to take off for a monastery or an ashram, making of the friction of life itself fuel for our spiritual development. He called it the way of the astute one. How to use life for spiritual development and awakening, even in its seeming contradictions and opposites, of that life that feeds the spirit. How to use negativity in a way that transcends it, transmutes it, empowers us to be present and in a place of peace and clarity and self-awareness that allows us to walk through this life without being pulled apart by it psychically, enabling us to use that willpower and that consciousness to become the healed and whole person that is our birthright and that we live so far from and that we seek in so many ways in this world full of distraction and charlatans and ignorance. This is his legacy to us, which allows us to go beyond his own teachings into the marvelous realms of the best of religion and spirituality, into our own communion, encounter with the divine. Here then are some practices leading into that third state of consciousness, as Gurdjieff called it, that higher consciousness known as self-remembering, an encounter with the higher self, with real I, one that we have tasted here and there across the landscape of our existence in moments of sublime peace or wondrous joy, not knowing what we were in touch with, and yet creating vivid moments of memory in our lives. This self-remembering, this state of consciousness is meant to be experienced consistently for long periods of time, rather than bursts of unexpected, grace-filled moments. The entire structure and essence of these fourth-way teachings are to lead us into enabling this state of consciousness in our daily lives, as enmeshed in our experience of life as breathing. This is where we are meant to live. Here now are approaches, methodologies, insights to help you find your way into this other state of consciousness, beyond the dysfunction, the wounds, the confusion, above the clouds of illusion, depression, anger, ego, into the brightness of true being, of who you really are. The work puts great emphasis on what is called self-remembering. It is a practice in one sense, but more accurately, it is a state. If you will recall, the third state of consciousness is above the sleeping level of humanity. It is the state of self-awareness, self-consciousness, and self-remembering, where personality with its identifications does not exist. The work teaches that we must try to remember ourselves at least once a day, but it is a very obscure practice for a long time. To begin with, because you have many selves belonging to your many eyes, trying to figure out which self to remember is a challenge. With that as your starting point, you're bound to get nowhere. Think of the practice more like this. Try to lift yourself up above the turmoil of life events and your reactions to them for just a few minutes. Imagine that all of the commotion, issues, and concerns are going on below you,
and you are not touching them, hearing them, or even really seeing them. It is called self-remembering because it is the recollection of our real I, our true essence and origin. It is remembering something we have forgotten, but that is immediately familiar. Maurice Nicole says, self-remembering is not going against the flood stream of inner and outer things. It is raising oneself, not contending. Contending is another kind of effort. Self-remembering is a non-identifying with oneself, for an instant, as if one were merely acting and had forgotten. When one remembers oneself, one forgets oneself. This is a conscious effort that you have to make to practice it. But what you are practicing is to be in the state of self-remembering. The practice of self-remembering is an action to lift yourself into the state of self-remembering. At the same time, self-observation and all the other work practices are degrees of self-remembering. They are not the state itself, but are conscious efforts to lift yourself out of the condition of sleep, and they lead ultimately to self-remembering. In other words, they all lead to the third state of consciousness. This is a very important achievement because according to the work, the influences coming down from above can only be received at the third state of consciousness. Light and help are possible at this level, but not at the lower levels of consciousness because the lower levels are polluted with the darkness of negative emotions, the noise of personality, and identifications that make it impossible for the sleeping person to receive them or the unclean environment to accommodate them. Those higher vibrations and influences are of a quality that is too fine to be perceived in the dark, coarse environment of sleeping humanity. It's not that higher influences can't reach anywhere they will. It's that the two lower states of consciousness, which are both states of sleep, cannot comprehend them. That is why awakening from sleep is essential to the development possible for human beings. Again, Maurice Nicole, everything you build up in yourself by work becomes a transforming cause in the future. To live mechanically on the level of cause and effect is one thing that we have to notice to know about. Here, nothing can happen save that the past gives rise to a mechanical effect in the future. If there were no mercy of God, it would work out as inevitable. To regard one's life as nothing but causal is not to grasp the idea that everyone can come into new causal influences by self-remembering. Otherwise, there would be only truth and no mercy. This idea is expressed in religious literature as forgiveness of sins. However, the state of self-remembering remains elusive for a long time, partly because you cannot remember yourself if you have only sensual thinking, which means you can't have any other influences than life's influences. Although you should practice self-remembering every day for the sake of reaching up to touch third state, so you can taste its quality, self-observation will inform and refine this practice. In fact, it is critical to it. Maurice Nicole says, just to try to remember yourself without a lot of previous work on observing different eyes in you will be purely theoretical. You have to see that unless you already have the power to observe how you are taking other people or life situations or life events, you cannot remember yourself.